Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowerment Saturday. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, coming to you live on another Empowerment Saturday. It's a Saturday for dialogue for African Americans to discuss issues, concerns, strategies, and thoughts that will empower, motivate, and inspire us to become the best people that we can be. This, my friend, is a healthy space for us to have dialogue, to have discussion. And we don't necessarily have to all agree on the points of the principle, but this is a safe space for us to be able to speak our minds, speak our thoughts, speak our opinions, and have that without having conflict. Can we talk? Yes, we can. It's the Empowerment 365 days. Who's going to do it? Us. That's right. We have to do it, and it won't happen unless we do it ourselves. So today's topic is going to be on Independence Day and the 4th of July. And so I want to start with talking about the Empowerment Network first. And so the NAAEA is an association developed to empower, motivate, and inspire African Americans to become the best that we can be by organizing ourselves in five areas: to understand politics and the political system here in America, to understand economics and the economic system here in America, athletics, which covers and encompasses athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition, because we have to take care of our bodies and our minds and our health. And then it comes to the C is cultural programs, and getting us to understand our history. And then the last piece is education, and being able to focus on educating ourselves on the concepts that we need to learn, not only in a basic education for the public school systems or just education in general, but an overall comprehensive education that will allow us to compete in this system and in this country and effectively compete in this world. So, again, I'll start with talking about Independence Day, and I want to take us back for a minute so we can understand my perspective on what it is that we're dealing with. So when you look at the history of America, you're going to look at the colonists coming over here for religious freedom. And so they decided that they would separate and come over here and practice the religious faith that they believed was right for them. And so the British allowed them to come over, and then they had Thanksgiving, and we all know what they did with the Native Americans. And they built several communities that turned into 13 colonies. And these 13 colonies built their wealth, and they decided that they wanted to be free from Americans. Now, this is where we come in. And around 1619, we were brought over here as indentured servants, and then that servitude turned into slavery. And from 1619 until 1776, when the independence and the Revolutionary War started, we fought with them for independence, and we fought in other wars as well, but I'm specifically focusing on our fight for independence and where we decided that we would hang out with the American colonists and help them attain their freedom and liberty and justice for all under the Constitution of the United States, which we did not get, I dare say, sadly, that we did not fight for freedom. And so even the British were saying, hey, if you guys fight with us, we'll give you your freedom. So my point is, when Independence Day comes, because we celebrated Juneteenth back on June 19th, now the 4th of July and independence for our American independence, we didn't get it. And Patrick Henry, down in here in Richmond, said, give me liberty or give me death. And he wanted freedom while holding 90 of our ancestors. What do y'all think about that? He wanted freedom and he wanted liberty or he wanted death, but he was still holding our people as chattel. And he had 90 is documented. So do your research on that. So I'm going to the lines now and open it up. I'm going to 6389. My main man, Stan, are you there?
I'm here, my brother.
Hey,
I'm
how
here.
You doing, brother? You got the opening for me. Did you hear all that?
I heard it, man, and I tell you, it is, you know, foolishly, we've been indoctrinated to stuff that is just a bunch of nonsense. It became reality for them in terms of white supremacists, and they have perpetuated their system. Their system is operating full steam ahead, and we spend too much of our time trying to fit in to get in, and we need to stop that. I so many times say we need institutions that define our own reality, and Independence Day is not our reality. It is not. As a matter of fact, what's his name? Cupid Atticus, the first American revolutionary soldier that died, and it was a black man.
Yeah.
Well, he thought he was gonna get some freedom for fighting that war. It didn't happen, as you well know. And
right,
we just have to, you know. I don't know. I mean, we need land. We need to have our own institutions. And if we're going to work in the framework of the system, it would be nice if we could work together as co-laborers. But I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. 400 years, sooner or later, you got to wake up and smell the coffee, man. Come on. You got to. And I'm 66 years old. I've been involved in this struggle, man, ever since the 60s. And 60 was the decade of change. I watched the assassination of several prominent people. I seen social change out there on the streets. Some of my main street friends got slaughtered, murdered by police brutality. Mark Clark, Fred Hampton. When does it stop, man? When does it end? And I think, like I said, culture trying to fit in to get in. We got to cut that out. We got to.
That's true.
That's why I like the African American Empowerment Association, because it's about the empowerment of us. It's almost like FUBU, you know.
That's
for
right.
And
that's
I like
right.
That.
Okay. All right. You ready to go to the lines, brother?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The lines are full. So I'm going to go down to 8128. We're going to come to you live. It's the Empowerment Saturday Show with Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin. Are you ready to talk to us? Talk to
go
me,
ahead,
caller.
How you doing, Marvin?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
How you doing? Okay.
Hey,
I'm
making
man.
It, brother.
Yeah,
what
listen,
you got for
I'm
us?
So glad to see you. Listen, I got a whole lot of things going on. I've
go
been
ahead.
Basically camping out over at the Marcus David Peter Circle, newly named, from the Lee statue. And the brothers and sisters over there have been holding it down and actually trying to come up with ways in which they can conceive change. Now, from that story that you told earlier, you know, part of it people need to know about is the word white people, okay? Because white people was something invented only in this country, and people don't know that white people invented that for the very reason that it stands now, which is to separate themselves from people of color, right? They gave certain privileges to indentured servants, and one of the other reasons was to keep white women from having a reason to look at black men. And that was a big concern of them, because white people are always concerned about their heritage. Okay, that is something really big for them. Keeping the money in the family and keeping, you know, things in a European state. That's always been. And as you can see the way they operate today, that is something that is part of their legacy. At any rate, what I'm saying that to say is that black people have been separated from white people to give them the advantage. Okay. And when they started doing that, they started making laws to prevent and to enhance white people, or the term, to be able to own land, to be able to marry and get certain privileges from this newly formed colony. And by the way, one of the other reasons was because of Haiti. Okay, Haiti became the first independent black country in the world before this country was even formed.
Yep.
And what happened with that is that a lot of slaves started fleeing to Haiti because there was an open invitation for any black person who wanted to come to Haiti. It was wide open. Okay. And they knew about that, and the British was getting ready to outlaw slavery, and they knew that as well, even though they continued to illegally, on a world standard, illegally still import slaves into this country after Britain passed that law that slavery was outlawed. Now, this country is so guilty of so many crimes on an international level that, you know, you know, it's like, where do we start? So what I'm saying that to say is that we must come up, and we have been in various factions to the task of freeing ourselves from any dependence on this society. Our history is replete with the fact that we have been betrayed on so many levels. Okay, by attempting to look at this system as being fair to us. That's not going to happen. Okay, and if it does happen, it is a forced situation. In other words, we have to show our economic, our political, and our social power in order for us to get this thing to be in any way towards us favorable. And it's not that.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, brother.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Right. We have to be consistently for each other and for our economic growth. One of the reasons that Tulsa, Oklahoma is so important is because when white people found out that black people were doing so well, it enraged them. It enraged them to the point to where they came looking to destroy our town because we were doing well without them. And they couldn't stand that. Right? They burnt it to the ground because of that. Okay? Not because we did anything to them. We were not doing anything for them. That's what it was. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm gonna stop you right there, brother. I hate to cut you off, but I got more people on the line. I'm coming back to you, I promise. But I got to spread the wealth around. I got to spread the butter on the bread so everybody can get a slice. Hold on a second. I'm coming back to you. Stan.
Yes.
The brother hits the points.
He did. Now, I've always believed that we've done better under segregation than integration. That crazy nonsense about put my desk next to your desk, and that's going to make me somehow intellectually accomplished, is nothing but nonsense. And, you know, so we've always done good under segregation. And it was the integration that became our demise. And so because we had to turn our money around in our community. It stayed in our community. And that's the problem now. Our money stays in our pocket overnight and is gone in the morning. And it shouldn't be like that. Most communities, they turn their money around at least 10 times before it goes out of their community.
True. True. Well, he mentioned Black Wall Street, and I think we got to start thinking about how we could develop those models around the country.
But look what Trump did. He holds a rally, okay, the day after they wanted to do it on Juneteenth, but did it the day after in Tulsa, the site of the worstest racial massacre in the nation.
That's the truth, brother.
What it's saying is business as usual. You know, I mean, come on. We don't have to be rocket scientists to see between the lines.
No more business as usual. Hey, Stan, let's go to the lines and let's see what we got coming up next. Brother, I hate to cut you off, but I'm going to get back to you. We're coming around the circle. Okay, we're going to 0946. 0946, we're coming to you live. Welcome to the Empowerment Show. It's Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin. Talk to me, caller.
Hey, Marvin. Hey, Stan. I really appreciate this platform that you guys have created. July 4th mean to black people? If anything, it reveals to us more than any other day of the year the gross injustices and cruelty which we have been a constant victim of. This day means nothing to black people other than signifying that we are still black labor for this country that's owned by white people. And the brother was talking about.
Said nothing.
Was talking about.
I said you said it means
Hello?
Nothing. I just had to drop that in there. You said it means nothing.
Oh yeah, it means nothing. It means nothing to me. Nothing, because it is not my reality in this country. I'm not independent.
Right.
You know, based on what has been done to us through slavery and Jim Crow and. Like somebody was talking about when we were doing well, they couldn't stand it, so they burnt it down. I mean, so this country, for whatever reason, doesn't want to see black people flourish because they don't want to get rid of their labor. They want us to continue to labor for them. And if we become our own economic power, our own social power, our own political power, then we control what goes on in the black community. And that's why I'm about black equity, because black equity represents for me no equity, no justice. Now, we're around here, we're saying no justice, no peace, and what that signifies for me is that if we don't get justice, then we're going to raise hell. We don't have to raise hell if we have ownership and control resources in our community. In the midst of racism, and I think Stan was saying that, you know, he's kind of given up that we're going to, like, be able to come together. I'd like to talk about that a little bit more on why, because he's been in this thing longer than we have, why he feels that that cannot happen. And so that's where I'd like to leave it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sister. Stan, don't give up, brother. Please, please, please don't give up. All right.
Well,
Stan, what you got, man?
I just think that, you know, we failed to operate in our original position. Our original position, we're kings and queens. I mean, I've seen them civilizations. I've been there to them. I mean, them pyramids and different things. We are black geniuses, and just to survive says a lot, right there. That's a testament right there. But we allow white supremacy to carve the narrative of who we are in terms of our existence. And that's not us at all. You know, I serve as founder president of the Harriet Tubman Cultural Center. And the first thing I do is I remind people of her roots. Her roots is she's Ghanaian from
that's
the
right.
Ashanti tribe, you know? And, you know, you got to know your heritage. You got to know who you are. And our existence did not start being in slavery. We were in
you
slavery.
You got that right. Mm-hmm.
And trying to get us to operate who we are You know, I call my missus Palace Queen. You know that. She's a palace
queen.
That's
right, you sure do.
I mean, that's the way we roll with it. The kids respect that. And you know, she lives like that because she's not just the wife. She's my queen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
tell it, brother.
You know, but we got our concept is, and I think for me, you know, I've just been going back and forth to Africa so much that I just got indoctrinated. I am an African that happened to be born in America.
That's right.
I'm not an American.
And for all the listeners, you know, and I said it last week, you took me over there. You took me to three countries, Ghana, Togo, and Benin, and we had an experience. And so we are
it's
Africans.
Eye-opener.
We are Africans. All right, let's get back to the lines. Let's get back to the lines. I'm going 7974, coming to you live. It's the Empowerment Show. Welcome. Welcome. You there?
Hi, yes.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm here. So I would say that I think agreeing a lot with what Benita, I think that was Benita, said about
you got it.
In terms of us not having or celebrating or what it means to have Independence Day to Black people. I think a lot of it surrounds the fact that when we talk about privilege, we also are talking about this sort of sense of inheritance that we never got. So we never inherited, you know, liberty and justice overall. We never inherited basically all of the things, really, if you read what Frederick Douglass talked about and what is what is the 4th of July to a slave. And when we think about the inheritance that we have and that we're still fighting for, it's one of injustice and violence. I mean, that's our inheritance. Whereas we, you know, have to continue to this day to struggle for the things that should have been equated to us as equals. But we know that, you know, when a court, the Supreme Court has to make you human, right, in the eyes of the law, that that kind of gives you a benchmark for where we are. And so
mm-hmm.
I think that to what Stan said about, you know, integration and segregation is that even though the law is completely different than what it was, from an education standpoint, our schools are more segregated now than they were 50 or 60 years ago.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
I say that to the point of it's not that laws, obviously that laws can change things, but, you know, I think I talked about before when we talked about strategy, right, and whether it's, you know, the Southern strategy or whatever it is, a law can be put in place, but if the laws are not enforced, right, we're still going to have unequal access and opportunities. And so you have schools that have been continuously defunded in Black and brown communities. But again, we're technically, right, an integrated society, but the, you know, we know that the real case and application of what has happened is that many of our students are worse off now than they were 50 or 60 years ago, because when you broke that system apart, and I think to what Stan was saying, in segregation, you had at least that component of teachers and family and support and care.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have the funding. You didn't have the funding and you didn't have the same access and opportunity. But what you have now is even worse than that in many cases, because you don't have that system of family support and care, and you still don't have the funding. So so that's the comment that I would make, I think, and how do we rectify those situations? And like I said, back to Benita's point, is that we do need equity, right? We do need the power. We do need to be able to make those decisions and have access to be able to make that change and make the needle move.
True. So true. So true. Stan, what you got, man? That was heavy.
Where's my question is, where's the village? Where's the village? We know it takes a whole village to raise a child, and the village is missing. It's gone. I know what has carried us through has been our faith, regardless whatever your faith-based perspective is. It makes a difference. Now, I know that there is a kingdom outside of this world here. It's called the kingdom of God. And I just think that our faith, it helps us if we practice it. We're not practitioners of our faith. I'm almost to the place we don't know what we believe, because our perspectives are so interwarped by this white supremacy. It's like an octopus. It comes at us as many sides. It's a many side creature, and it's like that ever ready bunny. That thing just keeps going on and on and on and on. I just think that I come back again. We just got to say enough is enough.
Enough is enough. Man, we are still fighting for the same things.
Right.
That we fought for during the Civil War.
And even during
the Spanish-American War, if you want to go back that far. Anyway, Stan, let's go back to the lines again, man. And I'm going now to 1209. It's your time. It's your turn. It's the Empowerment Saturday. Marvin Rohn, Stan Macklin, talk to us, caller. You're on live.
So what's the question? What does the 4th of July mean to black people?
What it mean to you? What it mean to black people? Talk to me, brother.
Yeah.
It's Independence Day. Are we really independent?
Yeah.
Did we get freedom? And even
it
on the 4th of July, 1776, did we celebrate freedom? Go ahead. Talk to me, Carla.
Yeah, well, see, that's your perspective, but for most of us, the 4th of July, we do celebrate it. We do believe in it because we want to go out and cook out. Most of our people are not even thinking about what you're talking about. You know, we need to get and educate our people right there. We have a deep level of understanding.
You need some reality. You need some reality. So you're saying, in other words, that so you're saying that's where it is. That's what we do. We got the grill cooking.
You guys are educated guys on our history and what we've been through and what it should mean to us. But most of us are just consumers. We're just consumers. All we're thinking about is the cookouts and fireworks, like I've been hearing for the last week. You know, and then the thing about the current situation that's going on. See, we talk a lot about we, and we, and then talk about them. See, we can't worry about them. The thing that Tulsa could be an example of is the fact that those black people did what they had to do. They truly meant Black Lives Matter, and they showed it by building those businesses and by supporting those businesses. And they put the white people or the white supremacists against the wall to the point where they had to destroy it. Because what else could they do? Those people weren't destroying themselves. See, those black folks, they did what they were supposed to do. They supported each other. They built business. They built community. And they forced the white people to the point where, okay, they're not destroying themselves. They're going to school. They're getting their education. They got business. We have no choice but to destroy them, and that's what we need to do today. We need to work with each other. Now, the thing that bothers me about the Black Lives Matter thing is that you hear a lot of our local politicians talk about Black Lives Matter, and we're going to do this and do that, but are they the same people that's closing Curtin Court down and not worrying about where those people are going to live? Are they the same people that's closing down the homeless tent city down there on 18th Street, the people have nowhere to live? Are they the same people that have destroyed the public transportation system in the city of Richmond for working class people trying to get around? See, these people are playing. We have to know who the enemy is. And a lot of times the enemy is sitting right across from you, you know? They look like you. They look like you. See,
wow.
So part of it is, what we need to do is we need to show every day. Look, I live in the city. I live in Churchill. And I tell my friends all the time, a lot of you all who moved into the counties in the Richmond metropolitan area after the Fair Housing Act of 1968 allowed you to move out of this city, you forgot all about Churchill and about Southside. See, you talk about other people and Black Lives Matter. Show Black Lives Matter every day and come over to Armstrong High School where you used to go to and support it. Do we do that?
Mm.
Do we come to Churchill and support our people? See, don't just talk about police brutality, you know. You got to talk about all those oppressive acts, and you got to act on all those oppressive acts. I hear so many of our people talk all the time, they, you know, are Black Lives Matter, and they do. I'm not saying it doesn't. But show that every day. Don't wait until somebody gets killed on TV and you get upset. Every day we have to do it. I'm 62 years old, and I know Black folks in the 60s were solid. We were solid. That's why they had to kill our leaders. They had to kill us because we were working, and we were working together. And in Churchill, I could walk to everywhere I wanted to go. I could walk to school. I could walk to church. I could walk to the store. I could walk to parks, everything. But we gave that away. We gave that away. See, Wall Street in Tulsa, which is not the only Wall Street, they didn't give that away. It was taken because those Black people did everything they were supposed to do. And to me, that's what we need to do. We need to organize ourselves, see,
mm-hmm.
because we have a separation within ourselves that's going on right there. That's the problem. It's not the other people. White supremacists go through white supremacists all. But what's our reaction to that? What are we doing for our people? See, because half those guys that get killed out there by the police, I'm going to finish up. Half those guys who are out there who get killed by the police, a lot of our people, especially our middle class, upper middle class, don't give a damn about those people until they see them on TV getting killed. See, those people have issues and things that they need help with, unfortunately, and we need to be willing to help in the good and bad times. So sorry, I took up too much
time. Right. Okay. Thank you, brother. I'm coming back to you. Hold on 1 second. Hey, Stan. What I'm hearing though is that we're talking about indoctrination.
Right. That's right. It's big
right.
Time.
And so when we look at, I think we also have to look at, because when we start looking at this class thing and how people think and how people behave, we act out of our experiences, right? And so the more that you're exposed to something, the more that you know how to behave or conduct yourself. And when you talk about our people dying in the streets, if you have, for some of us, achieved a certain level of economic status, then we look at some of other people within our group as less than, and we got to stop doing that. I think the last thing, the point that I want to make is we have the ability to create or recreate those communities, those Black Wall Streets. But it has to be wherever we are. We have to be community wherever we are, and we have to show that solidarity. I'm going to slide over. Did you want to add something?
No, you're on the roll. You're absolutely right.
All right. I'm sliding over to 4358. It's the Empowerment Show. Thank you for holding. You're live, Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin. Talk to me, partner.
Yeah, peace, brother.
Hey, brother.
I don't really have a comment today. I'm learning, and I really would like to stay in learn mode, but I wanted to support the show by calling in.
Well, I appreciate it, but
people, they seem like they have a lot to say, so I'm learning today.
Okay. Well, I got to ask you,
okay?
Since you're on the line, right? What does Independence Day mean? You know I'm going to pull you, man. You on the line? Tell us about Independence Day and what that means to you. What do you see?
Well, Independence Day for Black people is the greatest example of the hypocrisy of this country. You know, it's we were slaves on Independence Day. We were physically slaves in this country on Independence Day, and even on another Independence Day, Frederick Douglass spoke on that when he gave one of his greatest speeches ever. He was speaking on the hypocrisy of them to even ask him to be the keynote on Independence Day while his people were enslaved in this country. You know, and it's just a very hypocritical day, you know, but you know, my thoughts are like the day that we start talking about solutions, you know, a great friend of mine, man, King Salim Kalfani, he put it like this. He said, Brother George, he said, you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. So I said, that's all right, because right now I ain't doing nothing. And then he came and said, and if you ain't doing nothing, you're part of the problem. You see, so to me it's like, to a great extent, we have not figured out that we waste way too much time talking about white people and white supremacy instead of talking about solutions to the real problems that we have. And with that, I'm done. I done got in trouble, now I'm done.
All right. Thank you, brother, for that. Thank you for that. Stan, are you there? I think I've lost Stan, folks. Anyway, we have to think about some things, right? And I think as we continue this dialogue about independence and being consumers and not having our freedom, we have to really look at ourselves. And again, when looking at this peace concept, again, the peace concept is politics, it's economics, it's health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education. And as we define ourselves under the peace umbrella, if we have a political agenda and an economic agenda and a health and wellness agenda and cultural programs that teach our young people and our families about community and about our history and our heritage, not just about slavery, but about the history of our people, that we developed the foundation for humanity, then we got a shot at doing this thing right. And I think last thing is that overall comprehensive education that allows us to compete. We have to compete now. We got to stop playing these games and get to work on working on ourselves. Stan, you there?
Yes, I'm here, my brother.
Yeah,
I'm
I
here.
Lost you for a second, man. All right,
yeah.
So I'm going to go back to the lines, but I want to hear from you first. The brother talked about cookouts, right? And we just grilling dogs and,
right.
And you know, burgers, and we just celebrating, and we're going to do our fireworks. And in my opinion, we probably should have done that back on the 19th and celebrated Juneteenth, which many of us did. I think we, again, have to educate our people. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that we don't want to get the spirit of independence mixed up with Independence Day. Everybody should have a spirit of independence to a degree. I know we can be co-dependent,
right.
but you know, Harriet Tubman, she exemplified independence. She said, "Look, I'm not free. I'm married to a man that's free, but he's not." He's not content. He's content with where he's at. And I know I can do better. And she said, I'm out of here. And she left him. And she loved that man so much, she went back for him. And you saw what he did. But the thing of it is, though, she, because of her independence, was able to be a renowned achiever. So I don't think we should get the spirit of independence is good to a sense. We're talking about the Independence Day, which we know, as the sister said, ain't got nothing to do with us at all.
So I'm going back to 8128, coming to you live again, full circle, brother. Now, let me ask you a question. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
8128. Now, the brother talked about independence. Right? How are we going to be independent in a racist, white supremacist, capitalistic society?
Brother, that is an excellent question. That's an excellent question. Because I'm listening to the callers, and I hear that they have bits and pieces of it. Number one, when we were segregated, now, first of all, we need to go back to education itself. Education, and basically public education, was started because black people were free. and the Northern troops that were down there established these schools, the Freeman Society, the Freeman whole movement, where
yes,
black people wanted to be educated. Now,
mm-hmm.
when black schools are segregated, that's not a bad thing. What we lack was finance. Financing
yeah.
was the only thing we lacked. When we gave up segregation in the 50s, we made unemployed teachers, administrators, and black principals. Okay, we were hurt by that segregation. What we needed was more money, not to be with white people. White people are white people, and they have been indoctrinated to what they are indoctrinated to. We do not have the time to wait for them to all open their eyes. Now, I'm actually, you know, as you know, I'm with RTAC, you know, Richmond Transparency and Accountability Project, all right, and I'm the outreach coordinator. So what I'm doing is when I go around, I see a lot of white kids, you know, millennials, who support black people, okay? Now, it's because their parents lied to them about
right.
the black people. But now
yep.
the thing is that we need to separate ourselves in our living situation, in our community situation, with equal access to the economic wealth of this country. Tulsa is only an example of how many times the dollar circulated within the community because black people were there. And this is a statement that I want black people who do not live in black communities to think about. You are
mm-hmm.
in a white community that treats you as either a token or a servant to their cause. They don't
mm.
see you as a black person with your own causes and own situations that are unique to you as a black person. They see you as their servant. Okay, they see you as beneath them, and they will never see you as equal. Never, okay, if you're in their community. They only have respect for people who have their own and who do their own and who are supporting their own. If they have a problem
right.
with you with that, then that means that you should not be around them. Okay, and that's the thing. We need to form a connection and a pipeline to this system, our own. And we have enough black
mm-hmm.
geniuses and black economic knowledge for us to be able to do that.
Okay.
We had people who have written books like crazy. Now, one last thing before I leave is I want to point out three books, Race and Restorative Justice by the sister of Angela Davis, which is Phonics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She got a book, Race and Restorative Justice, that is not about locking up people. It's about getting some kind of equitable settlement with the person. In other words, you know, if I knock out your eye because you knocked out my eye, you know what that means, okay? So we don't need to go down that road. The other book is White Rage by Carol Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It documents every single betrayal of white people in this country from day one. Okay, she has written a complete truth about the racial divide. Okay, White Rage by Carol Anderson. And the third book is American Politics and the African American Quest for Universal Freedom. Okay, the eighth edition is the most recent. These are all written by black people for black people. Okay, so the thing is that we need to become aware of where we're at, what we need to do. I don't care how equitable, you know, the white race thinks that they are. Okay, they have been indoctrinated, and they have been
mm-hmm.
inundated with beliefs that we are not equal to them. So, listen,
okay.
why fight? I mean, listen, forget about y'all. It's about us. Okay,
right.
we need to build our own. We have enough people who are making money. And all we do need to have financial literacy. We need to have as they say, good credit, and we need to buy our own property. Okay, those three things are essential for us to have some kind of foundation. Okay, after that, you know, then we need to do independent entrepreneurial business and skills training or profession training. We need to become independent. You know, those things are essential. All right, my brother? So I'm saying all that to hopefully your listeners can see the value in that. Okay.
Okay.
Because if you're not fighting to become independent, then you're not fighting for me.
True. Thank you, brother.
All right.
Thank you.
Right.
Stan, that was a whole lot. He fed us. We at the buffet today, and my belly is full. Talk to me, Stan. What you got?
Well, he's laid down some sound principles. And there again, he's talking about defining institutions that define our own reality. And education is definitely the key perspective. We just got to go back to our original position, who we are. We're not ignorant people. We're brilliant people, and we don't need to become a victim of victimization. So, all this is good. It's good. But where we go from here?
True, true. I'm going back to the lines. I got another caller on the line. We're coming to you live. 9282 is Marvin Rone and Stan Macklin coming to you live. Talk to us.
Good afternoon, brothers. I apologize. I didn't hear the topic today. I was on a family reunion Zoom meeting that just ended, and I figured I'd just call in and listen to what I could hear.
Mm-hmm.
And for what our brother, I only heard the ending of the last brother, obviously. But what I did hear, I would just say we need to understand that prior to the Caucasians even coming to what is now called Africa, when they got there, the system that we had, and they actually teach this in economic classes in college, was called the bartering system. And basically what we did, our system, you had your farm, you grew corn. Brother Stanley had his farm, he grew tomatoes. I had my farm, I grew onions. Or I grew whatever, and then we'd come to market, and I'd give you some of what I grew. You give me some of what you grew, and you Stan would share. And that's how we lived. You know, that's how we all had our own, and we shared, and we worked for each other. When the white man came in, he saw the system, and he was like, So then he became what now known as distributors. He talked us into, well, sell me your corn, sell me your onions, sell me your carrots, sell me. And then he sold them to the rest of us, introducing a medium of exchange called money. Okay, and then where do we get the money from? We had to go to him to get the money. How do we get the money? Well, you got to do something for me. You need a job. You got to work. And so that's how this thing evolved. Prior to that, we on land, we did our thing, and we worked and we shared with each other. You know, don't you worry about growing potatoes, brother. I got the potatoes, you grow the corn.
And they
he
do that
came
constantly.
In. Mm-hmm. Yep, they it was called bartering. And they came in and became the distributor. Yep, they became the wholesaler, distributors.
The marketplace is very important.
And they came in, but we didn't have that marketplace. They came in and allowed them to come in and take control of what we were doing and introduce the need for money, introduce the need for a job working for them, and the wholesale retail thing came about and the logistics of doing that. But prior to that, we didn't have that. So I guess I'm saying we need to try to get an understanding of what we had prior to the introduction of this economic system that we're now captivated by and that we're now part of. In other words, that may be an answer to what we do going ahead that does not resemble what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? Maybe totally
how
different
about,
than what we're doing now.
How about the black market, right? And I think you mentioned when we did the one-on-one about Black Friday. Every Friday should be Black Friday. And we could start this thing. We could create our own market system. We can create an economic
development program that allows us to stimulate economics within our community and support each other. We need a good network of economic principles that we're teaching and talking about that we can get up to speed and, again, compete. Stan, what you got? Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, I've done a lot of tours out of the country, and I would always take people to the marketplace because, as he said, you know, they grew whatever they grew. They bring it to the marketplace where they can sell their goods and barter and different things. And we've gotten away from a lot of those original concepts. When you first hit the motherland, that blows your mind. Everybody is involved in some type of commerce. I don't care if they're walking down the street with water on top of their head. They got something going on. And we've just neutralized ourselves in so many ways. I'm trying to be encouraged, my brother. I really am.
Be encouraging. But we've been indoctrinated. We've been washed down. We've been stripped. And so we can't fault us for so much. But it's going to be education, right? Education is the key to developing and creating a mindset.
Well, you created a nice platform here with the African American Empowerment Association. I like this. I mean, if people will read the doctrine, read the principles, the founding, you got some heavy stuff there, and I'm on board with it. I just think that we need to work with what we got and go from there. Because if we got a platform, we need to use it for our advantage.
That's right. It's time to get busy with developing programs and activities and trainings that really put us in a place where we're empowered. And the only way to do that is we got to come together and start using our minds. And again, I think because of our conditioning, right, we have to understand whatever we are, we have to look at it in terms of how liberated are we mentally from the constructs that we've been given about each other and ourselves and our oppressor. Now, again, this whole conversation is not about white supremacy. It's the effect and the impact that it has on us on a day-to-day basis. So I'm going to slide back to 0946, and then we're going to wrap this thing up. Talk to me, 0946. It's your turn.
Yeah.
Marvin Rona, Stan Mackler.
Yes. Yes, I'm really enjoying the conversation. And I think someone on the call had mentioned how we spend so much time talking about white people and what they do. And I think if we would start speaking in languages, understanding the concept of systems, we would understand and wouldn't be caught up in white privilege and stuff, but we would understand that black inequity is the result of a racist system that unjustly creates and distributes wealth that purposely excludes and exploits the black community. And if we would start thinking in terms of the system and not the individual characters and talking about what they think about us and they have white skin color, so they have privilege, then we would holistically, which is an African principle, being holistic. So I think Stan mentioned the village. And we could start developing language that would encapture our ability to think in a holistic manner. Because if we talk about education, if they don't overhaul how education is funded, then we will always be at the bottom of the totem pole. So when they create these budgets, we need to have some disclaimers when they create them, that this is an insufficient budget, and how dare you expect us to have efficient outcomes, because we're not going to do that. So they set it up, we get excited about it, and then when we don't meet the outcomes, they turn around and blame us. But we agreed to the budget. There should be some disclaimer. This budget is reflective of redlining, gerrymandering, exploitation, And we simply, no matter how aggressive this budget is, we're just moving furniture around in the house. And so we can stop falling victim to them turning around and saying, well, if only black kids study enough, if black parents would just do this enough, if only, it's like you're expecting us to do this on the budget we have, and there's another community whose budget is three times as ours, you expect us to get the same result. We should stop accepting that. We should stop accepting that we can make things happen on a shoestring budget. So I'll just end it with it. My grandmother used to always say, you cannot get blood out of a turnip. And we need to stop agreeing to these objectives that we know we will not achieve any type of efficiency with being underfunded. So
I heard that. This thing she said, just moving furniture around the house.
Mm-hmm.
I caught that one.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this has been a great show. Great perspectives, right? We got to get to work on working on ourselves. I'm going to 7974. What you got? It's the Empowerment Network.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's been a lot said, and I agree with a lot that has been said. The one thing that I will say about in terms of, I don't think that it has to be isolated. I think that when we think about 4th of July, I think for a lot of black people, like the caller said, yes, absolutely do we need to sort of define what our history is and understand what our independence is. On the flip side of that, for me, to be honest with you, black people have been through so much in this country that I'm going to celebrate black joy in any form that it's given. So if black people are getting joy out of cooking out and celebrating for whatever reason they choose to do that, I'm a supporter of black joy in all of its forms because it's constantly being deconstructed and taken away from us. And so, you know, and sometimes like we're talking about, we talk about really, really heavy stuff a lot of times because it is, it's heavy and it's true, which is why people have to take care of themselves because, you know, racial fatigue is real. And so that fatigue, we ought to cater to ourselves and what that means. And so if people want to cook out, eat a hot dog, do whatever, for me, for black people, then black people need to do that and take care of themselves. And I'm not saying that. You know, again, in terms of the 4th of July, everything I said still stands in terms of what it means for us, but I do celebrate black joy in all its forms. The last thing I would say is I think that we have to stop being distracted and sticking to the agenda of the things that we ask for. So, for instance, even in the movements that we have now, these systems, these people are giving us everything we didn't ask for. Like, I don't know who asked for the Black National Anthem to be sung at football games. Like, we just want you to stop killing us. And so people are giving us all of these things, but it's everything that we didn't ask for. So you can make new brand campaigns. You can do all of these things. But what we're really asking for at the core is stop killing us, stop being violent, give us access and opportunities. And the distractions are we're going to sing the Black National Anthem at NFL games. So, again, sticking to what it is we're asking for and not being distracted. That's my comment.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Hey, Stan, we got about a minute left, so I'm going to let you close this thing out. Great show today. If you're going to buy black, if you're going to buy hot dogs, find a black grocery store if you can find one in your community. If not, let's pool our money together and get a black grocery store. Stan, what you got? 30 seconds.
Well, I want to give the listeners something to think about. One of the things that stands out to you when you go to the motherland is what the Portuguese, the Dutch, and the British did was built those slave dungeons, those slave castles. And I think that these slave castles they used that to process the enslaved Africans for entry onto that ship. And I just think that they have created a way of masterminding those slave dungeons. Of course, back of course, the corporation.
It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die.
All right, well, that's all I got for today. I got. Come back.
I don't know what's up there.
365 days of
beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know.